in the east. I don't know why they'd say that with the brogue we had. Because of the name. Most Catholics, most, yeah, McGinnis is a Catholic, really, Catholics, a lot of Catholics with that name.
Oh, let's see. I've got the tape on. Say something.
Ho, ho, ho.
Good.
Okay.
Levels are good. Today is March the 9th, 1992, and I'm in the home of Pauline McGinnis and her mother, Flossie Hines, is present. What I thought I'd do first is get your biographical information about you. Do you give your age?
Yeah, I don't care. Everybody knows about how old I am. And that know me, they know about how old I am. I can't fool anybody.
All right, what's your birthday?
My birthday is September 9th, 1930.
And your religious preference?
Methodist. Good old Methodist.
Mm-hmm. Educational background?
I'm a college graduate.
Work background?
Elementary school teacher for 35 years.
What grades did you teach?
I taught 3rd, 4th, 5th and 6th, but mostly 4th. I've been exposed to just about all of them, up through the 6th. Mm-hmm. I never went any higher than the 6th.
I taught 7th and 8th grade.
7th and 8th.
1 year. I liked that pretty well. Actually, they were just a little bigger. They kind of acted the same, although they thought they were more mature.
Oh, yeah. I prefer the little ones. I really like kindergartners. Mm-hmm. And 3rd grade, but I never wanted any part of the teaching the 1st and 2nd grade. Too hard.
Too hard.
It is. You're on your feet constantly. You never have a minute.
That's true.
You don't have 1 minute. You're on your feet constantly.
I taught 2nd grade. That's true, an open classroom.
Yes, sirree.
Well, do you know what y'all's ethnic background is?
Well, let's see, I guess we're English and Irish, I think.
Well, let's see. I guess we'll just, let's just start out talking about your grandfather. Wherever you'd like to start would be fine.
Oh, I can remember Grandpa as he's one of the best men I ever knew in my life. The thing I remember most about him was the fact he never had a derogatory remark about anybody.
Okay.
The worst scalawag in that country could come by. He was always, whoever it was invited to eat, to stay all night. If they wanted to stay a week, that's fine with him. And just carry on like, you know, nobody was there. And they fed them the best they had and did the best they could. Whoever it was didn't make any difference, but you never heard him make a bad remark about anybody. If he couldn't say something good, he just kept his mouth closed. Never. And he, another thing I can remember about him, he always had all the time that we needed, the grandchildren. If we wanted to talk to him for an hour, he talked for an hour. And he stopped what he was doing, no matter what it was. And he always had, well, just whatever time we needed, or whatever time, however long we wanted to stay with him. And my sister used to go to the field where he worked, and she'd take him a jar of water or a buck or his lunch or something. I can't remember if it's been so long ago, but I know she did it. She was little. And he'd be working. And she called him Papaw. Mm-hmm. And she'd say, "Papaw, stop your work. I need to talk to you." And he'd quit. And they'd sit down and She'd talk to him and stay with him. He'd stop just as long as she wanted to talk to him. Strangest thing I ever saw. And today, she can't look at a picture of him without crying.
No kidding.
Now, she looks pictures of Daddy. She doesn't cry. But she looks at a picture of him and she cries every time. Every time. I don't know. He was a hard worker, but he never said no to any of the three of us. He tried to teach, Wendell told me this the other day, that's the first time I knew anything about it. He said he decided he wanted to learn to pick a banjo like Grandpa could. And Grandpa said, well, he would help him. Wendell said he never could do it to save his life. So he just quit. Just quit. And I remember, too, I never forget this. We went to a one-room school up behind his house, I guess, oh, half a mile, maybe a little further. I can't remember. But we always had to go by his house to go to school, and Wendell went with us. So we all three walked to school together. And we'd come back the same way. And lots of afternoons, especially if it was warm, he'd be out back under that elm tree and with his, you know, just a straight cane back chair. And he'd be picking that banjo and singing. Well, we could hear him long before we got there, you know. And we were always thinking how we could get Grandma out of the house so we could go in and get something to eat, because she wouldn't let us eat unless we stayed till after supper. We could stay and eat supper, then we could have anything we wanted that she had. But we'd stop, and he'd keep right on picking, then we'd sing with him, you know. And this would go on for maybe an hour, hour and a half. And unless Mom and Daddy had told us we'd better be right straight home from school. So if they didn't say anything, we stopped. Anyway, we'd always ask him, where's Grandma? We were always hoping she was gone. He'd say, oh, she's up in the garden, or she's gone to the store. Well, that's just what we wanted to hear. And we'd ask him and say, well, can we have some of the cake? She always had a cake baked that was that high. Always. In the pie safe, those old-fashioned pie safe. She might have two. Well, if we'd eat supper, see, well, then we could eat all the cake we wanted, but she wouldn't let us have it until we ate supper. He'd say, yeah, go ahead and eat all you want. So we'd all three go to the kitchen and get the cake. We'd eat all we wanted, and then we either went back and listened to him or Hilda and I went home. And I'll never forget that as long as I live, but we could have anything in the house. He kept he kept apples all winter. How he did it, I don't know. But when we went in the wintertime, and we went every day, he'd go upstairs and he'd come down with three apples, one for each of us. And so then we decide we want him to roast potatoes in the fireplace, in the ashes. He'd go get the potatoes and he'd put them in the ashes, and then he'd go get the salt and the pepper we would. And he knew when, you know, they were done, he'd take the poker and rake them out on the, you know, the hearth, and we'd sit there and eat them.
Y'all would be stuffed.
Went on any time we wanted to. All we had to do was ask. Grandpa, could we have some potatoes cooked in the ashes? You sure can. I don't reckon he ever refused us anything.
Isn't that tempting? To take all that time with you.
Hilda used to borrow money from him, but since it was unbeknownst to me, and he wouldn't tell her. You know, he never told her till after she married and left. She's working for him back. And I'd wonder what'd go with my money. And she would work and down at Wells's. In the restaurant and pay him back. and said she paid every penny back, and she said he wasn't just, he was her bank.
She could get anything from him. Well, any of the three of us could. But I never borrowed money from him, or Grandma either. But Hildred did. And I guess Wendell did. I can't remember, but I'm sure he did. But I could look forward to, he always got me a big watermelon on my birthday. I could expect it. And then he'd take open his little, Mama's got that little old thing, it's a little coin purse. Snapped together, had two or three different pockets in it. And he'd hand me some pennies, but he called them copper cents. And he'd say, here's your copper cents. And of course, a penny would buy a great big candy bar back then. Mm-hmm. A nickel would buy a big sack of candy if I had five pennies, you know, yeah. Or copper cents. And that was my birthday, for my birthday. Now, I don't remember what he'd do for Wendell and Hildred. I just can't remember. I just remember mine. I don't remember what he did. I just can't. Can't at all.
Do you know much about how he learned to play music?
No, I really don't. I just came into this world when I was old enough. He was playing the fiddle and playing the banjo. And then I got a guitar when I was about 10 years old, 11, I can't remember. Ordered from the Sears Roebuck catalog. Seemed to me like it cost $3 and something. Anyway, I learned to play that guitar, and I played with him.
Oh, well, let's talk about that. That's...
Yeah, I played with him. Yeah,
did he'd pick.
No, I learned myself.
Can you read music?
No, play the ear.
Like he did.
Like he did, uh-huh. Yes, sir. I could follow him playing the fiddle or the banjo, either one. Yeah, we played a lot.
I bet you enjoyed that.
And Hildred and I sang. He thought that was the greatest thing there was.
What kind of music did you all generally sing?
Oh, usually it was country music. That's about all we knew back then.
Were they old songs?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, sometimes we'd have some newer songs that we knew we'd hear on the radio, or we'd get copies of, or out of a song book or something like that, or somebody would give them to us. But, yeah, I played with him. Uh-huh. But I don't know how he got started. I really don't know. Now, what is he sitting at? There's something wrong with that car. He got to the street.
Like it's just stopped. Want me to unhook
it? Unhook me for a minute. Let me go see what's wrong. Talking about when he started playing, he must have been a real young man. Because, see, he had a brother. And we called him Uncle Buck. Now, we did. That wasn't his name. His name was William, but I never did know for years. I thought Buck was his name, but it wasn't. But anyway, Uncle Buck played the banjo, and Grandpa would play the fiddle. Well, Granddaddy Cook, which is my great-granddaddy, my grandmother's dad, he would have picnics. And he would ask Grandpa and Uncle Buck and Penn to come and make music. Our Grandpa and Penn. Well, they would go and play for this picnic, and the music for the picnic, and that's where he met my grandmother. And my granddaddy Cook didn't like Grandpa Wilson, didn't like him at all. He wanted to come and see Grandma C, court grandma as they called back then, or Spark, that's what they called it, Sparky. And Grandpa Cook wouldn't let him come. But he'd invite him to come and play for these picnics that he'd have. And the only way they say they could get Grandpa out of the field from working was there was going to be a dance somewhere or a picnic, and somebody wanted him to play, and he'd leave the field with his fiddle or his banjo, whatever they wanted him to play. And here he would go.
Do you think the objection was because he played the music so much?
No, I don't think that was it. I just think Grandpa Cook wanted to keep her there and, you know, to help with the rest of the family. Mm. I don't see how in the world he could have ever had anything against Grandpa. Grandpa didn't do anything but work like a dog.
Well, I know some people have told me that back in those days, some people didn't really, they thought musicians were irresponsible.
Well, now, he could, Grandpa Cook could have thought that. I don't know. I never knew him. I don't guess you did either, did you? He already died. But then, somehow or another, they managed to see each other, and I guess they ran off and married, didn't they? They ran off. Then, Grandpa Cook wouldn't let Grandpa Wilson come there to visit. Well, therefore, then my grandmother said she wouldn't go either. So they didn't go back to see him for a long, long time. Well, my great-grandmother Cook died. Well, then they had this little boy who is my great-uncle, Uncle Garland. Well, he was just 3 years old. So Grandpa Cook called or wrote a letter, or he couldn't call because nobody had a telephone. I guess he wrote a letter and wanted Grandma to come. Well, and Grandpa too?
Yeah, he invited. You know, Dad liked about when.
Well, I thought he just invited her, and she said if he didn't go, she wasn't going.
Well, she wasn't.
Anyway, I know there was some talk about that she said, I'm not going if you can't go. Well, Grandpa said, I'm not welcome, and I can't go. But anyway, they finally wrestled it out, and Grandpa agreed to go with her to see what he wanted. Well, he was sick.
Said, well, Merge, that old lady, I'll be gone, and you'll know where I'll be gone, I'll be gone.
He called.
You stay as long as you want to, but said, I won't be there.
He called Grandma, as long as I can remember, old lady, or the old woman. And anyway, when they got there, I guess Grandpa Cook was nicer to Grandpa Wilson. And what he wanted was for them to take Uncle Garland and raise him, because he knew he was going to die and there wasn't anybody else who could take him. And he knew that Grandpa would be good to him, mm-hmm. and that Grandma would take care of him. They both would. Well, they agreed to take him. Now, that was long before George was born or Mom or any of them. They didn't have any children. Well, they brought Uncle Garland home with them at 3 years old. And they raised him. He stayed with them until he married. And he was about 25 when he married, something like that. And, but I always thought it was such a strange story. I can just see Grandma and Grandpa running off and getting married.
Wonder where they ran to get married.
I don't know where they went.
And married, and then was married 2 weeks, and the grandpa, and Mommy had a sister at home. She knows where she was.
Ain't Maddie.
Ain't Maddie. And he kept asking where Minnie was, and Ain't Maddie didn't know. And she did know, but she wouldn't tell him because he'd been so mean and contrary. And then she ran off and married Uncle Bob. And so that was another contrary spell.
And they had, Uncle Buck and Aunt Maddie, had one child, Charlie. And Aunt Maddie died. And Grandpa and Grandma took Charlie to raise also.
What happened to her?
What happened to Aunt Maddie?
She had the TV.
But she died young. I don't remember how young she was. Anyway, here they are with Charlie and Uncle Garland. And at that time, George was born. And we have, our mama has a picture over there of George and Charlie. And they're both wearing dresses. Okay, that's George and Charlie. They were just about the same age. There's not much difference in them. And when Tommy, Mama's brother, lost his mind, he'd look at that picture. He knew that there was another member of the family. And he asked Mom, told Mama one day, he said, did you know that we had a sister? Another sister. And she said, no, we don't. He said, I know we do. Except she's got a picture. And said, she's got a dress on. That was George, see, with this dress, white dress on. And Charlie had a white dress on, too. And he never would have it that that was George.
Wouldn't you like to have seen her?
And see what she looked like. And then Grandpa had a hard time. I don't know how he stood it. I think when I think back.
He lost that place in the time and what was working out, Uncle Willie Cook was standing there, not his brother.
Well, now, when they married, did he own that farm? Had he bought that farm?
Part of it.
And he paid 50 cents an acre for it. I've forgotten how many acres are in that one where they lived, and then they had that one across the road. And it was all in woods. And he had to clear that up. And Uncle Willie, Grandma's brother, came and stayed and helped him. And, of course, Penn was there come in and help. And what I was thinking about, Grandpa had a lot of trials and tribulations when I think back about how hard times were. And Grandma was sick a lot. Then George was never well. He was sick all the time. The doctor came every day. And when he was 2 years old, he was two in February, and well, he's a little over two. Mama was born in November. That made George almost three. But he died the week Mama was born. And Grandma, of course, wasn't able to take care of Mama. And there was Charlie there. There was Uncle Garland to take care of. Of course, you know, they were a little bigger, but they were still kids. And Grandpa responsible for everything, and different ones was coming in, staying, helping. Uncle Willie came and stayed and helped. Then Penn came and stayed, and he helped.
Les Ashford. Cousins to come and stay and watch the kids while they worked and cooked in the cooking firm.
And Grandma wasn't able to take care of Mama. So they knew a couple. Now, I don't know who they were.
Stewards.
Well, that's the first. I never did know. Anyway, he went to see them. They didn't have any children. To see if this man and his wife would take Mama and keep her until Grandma got able to take care of her. Of course, she was grieving over George. And then it had this baby.
Times were hard.
And then Charlie and Uncle Garland there, and other people, you know, in that little cabin. And so they agreed to take Mama. And so Grandpa took her up there, and he tied a cow to the back of the wagon so she would have milk. And to feed the cow, you know. And I really don't remember, or Mama may remember, how long they kept her. How long did they keep you? You remember?
About 6 months.
Well, anyway, Grandma decided she was well enough to bring Mama home. And so told Grandpa, said, you go get the baby. So he hitched up the team and the wagon, and off he goes to get Mama and the cow and whatever else he had taken up there. And anyway, he came home with the baby. And of course, Mama screamed night and day. Night and day. And she was a tiny little thing. And they couldn't stand the crying. There was no way they could stop her. So Grandpa said, you've got to go up there and get them and bring them down here and let them stay until she gets used to us. So Grandpa hitches up the wagon again he goes up and tells these people, you know, that she's crying all the time and they can't do a thing with her. And he wants them to come and stay a couple of weeks. Well, they got their clothes ready and they came and they did stay 2 weeks.
You're a regular boarding house.
Yeah. Well, and these other children. And these people he had hired to cook and take care of Charlie and Uncle Garland.
How big was the house?
Well, now, there were 2 rooms downstairs, and there was a loft with 2 or 3 beds up, you know, up above it. I don't have any beds they fixed up there to sleep all these people.
I weighed 4 pounds.
When you were born,
mm-hmm.
Were you premature?
No.
Just small.
Anyway, these people stayed, and when they said, when Mama saw these old people, said she just laughed and just made all kinds of noises, you know, she knew them. Well, they stayed until she got used to Grandpa and Grandma, and then he took them back home.
They wrote just as long as they lived.
And they used to send her
Grandma and Grandpa.
And they'd send her presents on her birthday.
Isn't that wonderful?
Uh-huh.
That they plug in there all those
years. Yeah, all those years. Mm-hmm. Well, but Grandpa had a hard time.
Yes, he did.
And I can't remember very much time that Grandma wasn't sick.
Was she sick often?
She'd no more get over one thing until there would be something else.
Was she just a weak person?
I don't know what she was. Grandpa would have been a rich man if she hadn't bought so much over-the-counter medicine. Yeah. And then have the doctor or take her to the doctor. And Grandma would buy this over-the-counter remedies, you know, and then she'd mix up a bunch of that. But she mixed up one thing that I wish I had sense enough to have written down what it was. But at that time, of course, I was young.
What did it do?
Well, she had arthritis in her knees, and she couldn't walk. I remember her knees being, both knees, just swollen in a strut. And somehow, of course, if she told Grandpa to jump over the house, he'd have tried to jump over it. And she sent him to the store to get all these different things she wanted. Well, she was going to make up this remedy for the arthritis. I can't remember. I remember grapefruit juice was one thing that was in it, but I can't remember anything else. But she had several different ingredients in this gallon jug. Well, she started drinking that. And it wasn't any time until Grandma's knees went down and she could walk.
Right.
Now, whether that solution she made up did the trick, or that's all she, you know, she took. She was drinking this stuff.
They swelled up till she got to put her knees in a chair to walk.
And the knees went down, and she was able to walk. And I've thought for years and years, I said, I wish I had written down what she had. But she'd go up in the woods, and she'd dig that
yellow root.
Well, it's that sassafras, isn't it?
Well, she dig that too.
Well, I don't know about the yellow root, but I knew she'd get the sassafras to make sassafras tea. And she'd chop it up, have it in little pieces, and then she had that great big old heavy tea kettle, put it on the stove and boil it. And she never drank coffee that I remember. She drank tea. She drank sassafras tea. And whatever that old yellow root stuff was. And Grandpa drank water with every meal. And, but I can just see that tea kettle of boy out and smell that sassafras tea.
Well,
yeah.
They always had a bunch of people.
Always. Always. It wasn't until, my Lord, they were in their 70s before they were by themselves. Because Tommy and Eva married and they had Wendell, and they lived there until, he through high school, just about, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And then Tommy and Eva moved to Owensboro, And, well, they moved to Beaver Down first, then went to Owensboro. That's what it was. And then when Wendell graduated from high school, of course, he came to Western. And that's the first time that I can remember that they were ever by themselves, unless it was when they first married.
Even though his wife was sick a lot, she lived to be old.
Well, no. Well, she lived to be, I think, Grandma was 78 and she died. And she died of, she had heart dropsy, that's what she had, or congestive heart failure. And just fell dead in the bathroom. Now, she lived to be 78. He lived to be, I think he was 83 when he died.
So really, all he did was work and play music.
That's all. But he worked like a dog. He worked like a dog.
They went to the dances. I've seen it. We've all danced, me and Tommy and mommy and dad both on the same floor.
So he would dance as well as play?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he could dance.
You should see him. He was a small man. He had a handlebar mustache.
It looks like a big one.
Oh, he did. It was a big one. And Hildred, my sister, was the only one who was allowed to touch it. She combed it. She could do anything she wanted to with it.
She got his hair one day. I like to look to it. He had the prettiest black curly hair, and she cut it all around his head. It looked like a bowl on his head, and he just hollered and laughed. It didn't bother him a bit, and I just had a bit.
She'd get up in his lap with a comb, and she'd comb that curly hair. He had black curly hair, had pretty hair. And, of course, now I could comb his hair. He wouldn't say anything about that. I couldn't touch that mustache, though. But she could. She could do anything that mustache she wanted to.
How'd he get it to?
When it was wet, I can remember seeing it, he'd pull it out like this. And it'd dry like that, see? And another thing I'll always remember, and I don't know his reasoning, I never asked him. Never thought about it. But when I was a kid growing up, he would work so hard, he'd perspire so much, and he always wore long sleeve shirts. And he'd have that band around the arm, you know, what they wear to keep the shirt sleeves up.
Yes.
And that top button was always buttoned, and he wore bib overalls. And he would perspire so much, there'd just be white salt all over these clothes. You could just see it. Well, instead of asking Grandma to wash them, he'd get him the soap, usually lye soap, what she'd made, and he'd go to the creek. I've seen him a many time down there in the creek washing those overalls and that shirt, and he got them clean. Then he'd take them home, hang them up, and they'd dry. His washing I saw him do was down the creek. And I saw him down there lots of times.
I've seen him wash in a tub both times.
Well, I never did see that.
Was that unusual for a man?
Well, of course it was. Well, my daddy, he wouldn't have washed his breeches or a shirt. He'd have worn them till they stood in the corner. Daddy would have never washed. No. I don't believe he would have. Of course, I thought he never would cook either. Mama broke her foot, but he did. Mama said he did a real good job, but Daddy wasn't about to do anything he didn't have to do. I never thought he'd ever fry an egg, but when she broke that foot,
he cooked. Well, he went to making gravy. He come in one morning and asked me how to make it, and I told him he went back and made the skillet of the gravy, and we eat it all.
That was, of course, my dad, but Grandpa would do, you know, just anything. It just didn't matter.
He certainly was a low-key person.
Yes, he was. Yeah. And never was mad at anybody. I never saw him mad.
I admire that.
Mm-hmm. Never, never.
Always had a lot of company and enjoyed every minute of them. I've seen him ride mommy make beds all over the floor.
Everywhere. Everybody was welcome to stay.
She'd get up and get a great big breakfast. He'd go to the meat house and cut a ham and bring it in, and he'd fry.
I'm blaming that on Jody Hall's electricity. It may be this machine, not too good. Well, I'd like to focus on his music a little bit. Just in the course of a day or a week, how would the music fit into the lifestyle?
Well, that the music came after the work was finished. He would get the banjo down or the fiddle after supper, you know, when everything was done. And lots of times when anybody would come in, they would ask him to play. And he was always delighted. He never refused anybody. Whatever if they want him to play the fiddle, if they want him to play the banjo. Usually it was the banjo that I remember. And then sometimes when we were, as I say, we were there every day, we'd ask him to play the banjo. And then we'd sing. And he'd play just as long as we want him to.
Amazing.
And enjoy every minute of it.
So it was a form of relaxation?
Yeah, oh yes. Well, we see, at that time, they didn't have a radio. Of course, no TV. That was the only entertainment there was.
Mm-hmm.
Then the dances they had, you know, at different places, and they'd ask him to play. And of course, he was always, you know, delighted to go and play.
Does anybody remember how much money they paid him?
I don't remember them ever paying him anything.
They make him pay a little bit at the dance.
I can remember later on.
At Will Deaver's, they paid him a little.
Wouldn't they pass the hat amongst the crowd?
They did for a while.
And
but they didn't get much. A lot of them would try to bring a $20 bill thinking you couldn't cash it. And my daddy said, I'll fix that fella. He does that every time. I'll change that $20 in ones. I know I'll have it.
Did he do it?
He done it. and he took his money that night.
Oh, of course, at that time when, you know, they were having the dances around the countryside, of course, my sister and I, and of course, Wendell, we, you know, we were real small. We weren't very big.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't remember if he, and I never saw him get any money. And I just assumed, you know, he played for nothing. I don't know.
Well, you know, one thing that really stuck out in my mind, this summer I would attend the dances over there, and it didn't make any difference whether you had money or not.
Uh-huh.
In the park. If you didn't have money, you could have a great time.
Uh-huh.
And the older people and the younger people and the middle-aged people all got out there together.
Uh-huh.
And I was real impressed at the way they handled the children.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were dancing with the children, the adults.
Yeah.
Were.
Well, we did too. We did
so
too.
This was going on for you all too.
Yeah.
All
uh-huh. these years. Yeah. I don't remember Wendell ever dancing. I can't ever remember him dancing.
I do.
Wendell? I don't remember it.
No, I don't remember Wendell dancing. No, I never.
I guess he was just too. I don't know. He probably wouldn't do it or. Was too little, I don't remember.
But if he wanted to.
He could have. Oh, yeah.
That's what amazed me.
Oh, yeah.
Little bitty kids would just get out there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just dance.
What time is it, Vicki?
1:52.
Okay. Well, you got everything about done?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, when you do, head on out.
Okay.
All
right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye. Nice to see you.
But I can remember, you know, dancing with Daddy. And Grandpa would be playing the fiddle, and somebody would be playing the guitar. Grandpa would play the banjo, and somebody else would be playing the fiddle. Like I can remember, I always was interested in Arnold Schultz. I never saw Arnold Schultz that I can remember. I don't know where Arnold went to or how I never saw him. Maybe I wasn't born, I don't know. But I asked Mama.
He was born all right.
Well, why didn't I know Arnold? Or why
I don't know.
Maybe too little? I don't know.
Maybe too little.
But anyway, back in those days, we never saw any colored people. And I remember the first colored person that I saw. And I thought Hildred was in Mama's arms, and I thought she'd scream her head off. And I followed the poor black man, you know. He was just fascinating to me because we never got, you know, we weren't around him. Mm-hmm. And I figure if I had ever seen Arnold, then I wouldn't have been so fascinated by this black person. Mm-hmm. But I was asking her how Arnold ever came to Grandpa's. But he came to, he heard Grandpa had hams, and he came to buy a ham. And found out Grandpa played the fiddle and the banjo, and he told him he played the guitar. So I guess Grandpa asked him to come back and they would play.
Mm-hmm. I know I
did. Well, of course he did, and he came quite often. Well, did he stay there for a while?
Yeah.
And
he stayed there too at night, or he just would come back and forth?
Just back and forth.
But they'd all...
He wouldn't stay all night, and he wouldn't eat at the table where you eat.
They'd have a meal.
He'd have to eat less.
And the white, whoever was there, would eat, and then he would eat. He'd come in and sit down at the table and eat, but all the white folks had to be out of the kitchen before he would eat. And they always talked about what a nice man Arnold was. I guess he knew his place back then.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
But now, Grandpa wouldn't have said anything. He'd ask him to, I'm sure he did. Mm-hmm. Ask him to sit down at the table. But Arnold wouldn't do it.
I've been working a little bit on Schultz because he's another significant person. And he spent a lot of time in the Taylor Mines.
Yeah.
His family says that he was born in the Taylor Mines and lived mm-hmm. there. Other people say he was at Cromwell, but definitely it was separate but equal. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing to me in the coal mine camp that they didn't socialize with the blacks at all, according to what these people have told me. Mm-hmm. They, you know, the school was separate, which you would expect that at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, but they said they really didn't socialize. So the fact that he came up to y'all's place and socialized the way...
But I think it was because of the music.
Definitely, I would say probably.
When he found out that Grandpa played the fiddle and the banjo,
well he made a little money too.
Well, then they started playing at the dances mm-hmm. and picnics, Grandpa and Arnold, and Penn, and they got a little money.
But you know another thing that I think is significant. I really think that your grandfather is very significant because he had to be a good musician, or Arnold Schultz wouldn't have been playing with him at dances.
Well, Arnold Schultz, they say, was great.
I know. I mean, he was. And he'd get on those steamboats, and he would hobo around, and he'd uh-huh. go to the big cities and pick uh-huh. up influences and bring uh-huh. them back. Uh-huh. And to me, Mr. Wilson had to be...
He had to be good to play with him.
Yes, or Arnold wouldn't have done that.
Well, I know he could really pick that banjo. I can remember that. I liked the banjo, you know, the banjo better than the fiddle. You know, well, we could sing and him picking that banjo. Of course, he sang with us, you know. And of course, we were just little tykes.
Mm-hmm.
Just little tykes.
Well, wonder how long Schultz and Wilson and Vandiver played.
Oh, they played together all their life. They didn't live too far apart.
Well, that was Penn and Grandpa.
Yeah.
And then Arnold got into it later mm-hmm. when he came to whatever year that was, to see if he could buy a ham.
Right.
See, Penn and Grandpa had already been playing together.
Mm-hmm. They done played before he come.
Do you think they played together several years?
Yes.
Yeah, they played
four or five
together.
Years?
Or even longer.
Oh, but they played all their life.
When they were growing up.
Put the mule up and go and get the fiddle and the strike out.
Because I've often wondered where Penn Vanderburg was born. Some
people they said I was only job that is quit. Wouldn't quit until somebody Penn come and say we were having a dance. Someone so you going with me? And he'd say yes. And wait till I get the mule out. I'll go to the house and shave and clean up, and we'll go. And they'd go.
Well, now they played together for years. Penn and Grandpa.
Penn got married and Penn married, and they got separated, and they were separated about 50 years. They hadn't seen each other. And he come to our house one day, and that was all in Wood. and he wasn't there, but he was coming for supper. And I was letting him, mommy was milking the cows. I was getting the cows up. And I let him under the gate, and the man drove up on that horse. And I didn't know him besides Sula, and he wanted to know if Clarence Wilson lived, and I told him yes. And I said, where's he at? Well, I said, he's not here now, but he'll be here after a little bit. He's hauling wood. And so we put the horse up, and we fed it in the back stall, and we wanted to hurry up and eat before Dad come in and took out the team, and then he knew there's somebody there. And Dad didn't know him, and but Penn wasn't an old him either. But of course, when he come in, he knowed him.
Well, that was quite a surprise for Grandpa.
Oh, they just shook hands and shook hands and shook hands. I thought they never would. Ben asked him, said, well, who am I? He said, Lord, I don't know. I've never seen you before.
Oh, no.
He pinned and have a hair on his head. He's as bald as he could be.
So by that time, he was bald.
Oh, yeah, he was bald. Now, Dad had all his hair.
When he moved in with you all, had he already been on crutches?
Yeah. He broke his leg, and Dad went and got him, brought him down there on a bed, a feather bed, on springs, and on a slide, and broke his hip, and went and got him, and while we kept him there and had the doctor there and had to break his leg again, and it would fall over, it wouldn't set up, wouldn't stand up. And he never could walk no more, and then he bought a little old place and moved to it, and Dad told him he was doing the wrong thing. He'd just might as well live with him. So they ain't charge him on board. He said, you can put up with it if I can. And he said, no, I'm going to get out to myself. And so he got out to himself, and that mule sold him and broke his leg, and then Dad had to go get him. And Charlie Monroe and them come down and set up a night or two with him, and that's as much as they come. Now, that was their uncle and Bill's daddy. Bill's brothers.
Charlie was Bill's brother.
Bill wasn't on the place.
Well, I guess had he already...
See, Bill, his...
Well, he's a year younger than Mama.
Bill's mother.
Right.
Well, and they owed him money and wasn't paying him.
Oh.
That was his business of being there.
You mean?
That's how come us to get to see him.
Who owed Penn money?
Buck Monroe. They built a new house and got the money from...
Well, was that Bill and Charlie's daddy?
Yeah.
And he owed Penn money and wasn't paying.
Yeah.
You know what I find interesting? Mr. Monroe always talks about how poor Uncle Penn was. Uncle Penn wasn't poor.
Was what?
Poor. Uncle Penn wasn't poor.
Oh, yeah, he's just as poor as he could be.
Well, yeah, I mean, money-wise.
No, he wasn't either.
That's right. He wasn't.
Because they couldn't let them know that he had any money, because he'd give it to Dad to keep.
Grandpa was his banker.
I see. Well, that's a good thing. Uh-huh.
Well, he had cows. He bought cows and brought them to our house and turned them in and fed them out feed and everything. And then he stayed there 2 years and made crop.
Because when I was down there, you know, the other day with Mr. Monroe, he got on this kick about Uncle Penn and how poor Uncle Penn was. And it was the poorest of poor, and I'm sitting there going, good grief. this is the Hollywood version of Uncle
Penn. He wasn't
poor
either. He had money to buy traded cows and sold them and bought calves. And,
he couldn't let a lot of the family know he had any money because they'd get it off of him.
Birch wanted him to buy him a suit of clothes, and we got the ticket. He was going with a Bayes girl. And I guess they were finally married, but she died. And
now, Birch, is that Bill's brother, Birch?
Yeah.
Okay.
And... So Birch wanted him to buy him a suit. Why, he said, I ain't even got a suit myself.
Now, Birch is Bill's brother, an older brother, and he played the fiddle. He played with Bill's band for a while, but most of the time he went to one of the Carolinas, is where Charlie was, the other brother. And he played the fiddle with Charlie's band. But he was with Bill sometimes.
But originally, weren't Charlie and Bill together?
Yeah.
Monroe's playing together when they left?
I don't know.
But he never did get his money.
He never did?
Well, did Charlie and Bill start playing together, Charlie, Bill, and Birch? That's how they got started. And then they separated. And Charlie went his way, and Bill went his way.
Well, they separated over a woman.
Yeah. As Bill's wife, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Bill cut Charlie's face with a knife. And Charlie died with that scar because it went from here all the way down.
Mm-hmm. Well, then when they...
I've played the guitar with Charlie. Oh, yes.
I really wish that...
Charlie was a good guitar player.
Oh, he could play. And he could sing. He was a good singer. Yeah, Charlie was. Well, of course, see, their farm, they bought a farm that joined our farm.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a real nice wife, Betty. She was, and we loved her. And we liked to go visit. And, of course, when we went, he got out his musical instruments, and we'd play and sing. He could really sing.
Because I know I listened to I haven't listened to the interview, but there is an interview they did with him for the Country Music Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And he has about four type pages of talking about Uncle Penn.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to hear his voice, you know.
Well, I think there are some records.
Oh, I
then Eva buy records for Tommy?
Yeah.
I've heard
Isn't that who Tommy wanted to listen to?
Yeah.
Charlie?
Yeah.
And that's when he was lost his mind. And if Eva put somebody else on there, he'd just have a fit. And she'd have to go back and put Charlie's record.
That's how Tommy used to work for Charlie.
Oh. So he felt closer to him.
Well, he just liked his singing better. And I can remember that.
Did you have a record somewhere?
Of Charlie? Charlie? I don't know. Eva's got some because she bought them for Tommy. Because I've been over there and she said, oh, Lord, I've got to go change that. Says he'll have a fit.
Mm-hmm. Well, evidently Charlie's disposition was a lot easier than Bill's from what other people said.
I don't know Bill. I've never seen him. Never in person.
Well, of course, the time.
Now, I'm sure he was up there. But, of course, when he went to visit John, one of the older brothers, of course, they lived on up behind our house, way on up there. Oh, it really wasn't that far. It seemed further then than it does now. But, anyway, I'm sure he visited John and Clary. John was his brother. I'm sure he was there at different times, but we never saw him. I've never seen him in person. Never.
Well, I've only seen him twice, and both times he was getting ready to perform, and then, of course, he was performing down there last week, but he's always the same. But that's his stage self, I would say.
I just really don't know.
Very mannerly and quiet.
I have heard a lot of people, from Nashville that I've just met in different places that have been around him. And they say he's hard to get along with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hear that.
Really hard to get along with. But now he may be getting more mellow in his older years, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I think the death of Melissa
mm-hmm.
really hurt him.
I would think so.
You know, I mm-hmm. think that really hurt him.
But the way he talks about Penn, my goodness.
I heard him, or I read this, or I heard it somewhere, where Penn took him in that cabin up there. Oh, I read it in the paper. That's where I read it, in the High County paper. He went to live with Penn when he was 16 years old in that cabin.
Mm-hmm. But I've often wondered how accurate that is. I mean, he always says that, but...
Of course, I don't know. Mama might know.
And them won't talk.
I wasn't up there, and there was up there at that cabin. We lived at home.
I have.
I, baby then.
And I was walking when Penn died.
Were you?
Uh-huh. I was walking because they told me.
We didn't know it in time for the funeral.
Isn't that something? You know, we never had figured out what happened to his daughter.
Who, Pam's daughter? Mm-hmm. Is that the only child he had?
Well, he had a son, Cecil.
Wonder where he is.
Well, he died when he was young. He was either late teens or early 20s. Probably he died of pneumonia.
I don't know.
He's got a stone there. Penn's stone is there, and then there's a smaller one for Cecil. And, of course, uh-huh. they're not exactly on the grave site. They're close, but not uh-huh. not right on there. But we don't know what happened to the girl. Maybe she died early. I don't know.
Well, or she could still be living somewhere.
That's true. She could be.
She could be living somewhere.
We really don't know where his wife's buried. Or no one I've asked knows. Some people think she's buried in Butler County. Some people think she's buried in Grayson County. And other people think she's buried up there at Bethel Cemetery. But if she is, it's an unmarked grave. At Bethel, their records burned. So you don't have a very accurate account.
Well, now, George is buried. Mama's brother is buried over at Bethel. And they don't know exactly where it is. They don't know exactly where. Mm. They know the general area he's in. Then Uncle Garland has a baby up there, and they don't know.
They're pretty close together.
But they don't know exactly.
No.
They don't know exactly.
No, they're no telling how many.
Well, and Grandpa Nimrod, isn't he buried over there too?
Mm-hmm.
Nimrod.
Yeah.
My great grandfather. Well, do they know where he is? Don't know exactly where he is, do they? Well, I didn't think they did.
Well, where's Mr. Wilson buried?
Well, I don't know.
He's over at Bethel, but now it's marked.
Well, I have missed it.
It's over in the new part.
The new part.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go up there and check this out. To think that I missed that. No wonder I couldn't find it.
It's sure over there. Grandpa and Grandma are buried over there. Mm-hmm. But theirs are marked.
Which died first?
Grandpa. Mm-hmm. He fell out the door, the front door, and there was a rock out there, and he hit the rock. Somewhere up here on his head, I've forgotten, in the front of his head, and it caused a blood clot. Mm-hmm. And he was in the hospital, gosh, I don't know, how many?
11 days.
Oh, no, Mama, he was in the hospital longer than that. I stayed just about all summer and sat up with him in the daytime. Tommy had to quit work. And he sat up with him at night. Tom Vance and somebody went down there and relieved him one night. Mm-hmm. And another one of the neighbors relieved him. And school started for me. I was teaching in Hopkinsville. And at that time, we started school, you know, after Labor Day. And I stayed until I had to start to school. Wendell was in... Where in the world was he? Some kind of army training. I don't know where he was. Anyway, he couldn't help us. And Eva was in the hospital. She came some weekends and helped. She was working. Then she got sick and was in the hospital. She couldn't help us. Mama couldn't help us set up. Because they were trying to get the crops in and take care of Grandma. So,
yes, we have money.
And Grandma was with them. Well, Tommy had to quit his job and come.
He had the second night, several nights.
Well, I stayed in the...
I walked him down from Louisville and he set up with me down there one night.
Well, Tommy and I did most of the setting up. I stayed during the day, Tommy stayed at night. And I killed both of us.
Did he ever regain consciousness?
Oh, yes. But they had those plastic, oxygen tin. There's no telling how many he tore up. You know, we just have to stand. It was a job. Mm-hmm. You couldn't sit in a chair and just stand there with him. You were busy the whole time you were there because he was fighting to get out. or tearing up the oxygen tent, or he is trying to climb over the foot of the bed, or wanna know where his shoes were and his clothes, he was going outside. And you'd feed him and he'd spit it in your face. And then he got, you know, where he would know us a little better, and then he'd sort of come and go. So after I went back to school, Tommy was so worn out, Eva couldn't do anything. Mama had Grandma, and they were trying to get the crops in. And doctor said he couldn't do any more. So Tommy and decided, you know, just have to put him in a nursing home. So they took him to Owensboro. And let's see, I guess Tommy came back to get Grandma to take her to see him. And he took her down to the nursing home. I've forgotten which one it was. And he just talked to her, knew everything, just perfectly told her what to do with them hogs and this and that and the other. And she come back to Tommy, just tickled to death, you know. He, you know, was at himself and, you know, telling her all these things. And it wasn't an hour until he was dead.
My goodness.
You know, that sometimes happens.
Yeah,
you know, you get better before you die.
Yeah.
Of course, she was just elated, thought, you know, he was coming back home. Then I guess Grandma lived, let's see.
4 years.
Well, he died in 57 and she died in 62. So it's 5 years. She died 5 years later. He died September the 11th. She died July the 19th, 1962.
So until he hurt himself with his fall, he was...
Mama thinks that he'd been having these heart attacks off and on for a long time. And she did take him. You did take him to the doctor, didn't
yeah.
you?
Several times, me and Mr.
Well, it was his heart then?
He had an enlarged heart.
Oh.
And, but that didn't stop him from cleaning out fence rows and doing what he wanted to do. He never quit. Maybe he'd lived a lot longer if he had stopped, you know, all that hard work. But he never did stop. He just fell out the door. Of course, I don't know whether it was an accident or he just passed out and fell out the door. We don't know what happened to him. But
he pretty much kept on playing music the whole time.
Up until he went in the hospital, yes. Mm-hmm. He sure did. Yeah.
Did he play a lot of fancy things in the notes? I can't think of the word, but there's a word for chromatics.
I don't know what those
put
are.
A lot of extra stuff in there, you know, like the
He could, he, Grandpa picked the banjo, not like a lot of these people I see on television. He picked that thing with his fingers, whatever you do. I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he could make that banjo talk.
Makes me angry because I can't think of what you call it.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
You get with your fingers. You get more into it.
More notes.
Let's see. Who is it that plays like Grandpa on TV when I watch him?
I don't know.
Skaggs tries to play like that, you know. I think he's a good banjo picker. I think
maybe
he's
a Scruggs style. When they
it play. might be one of those Scruggs. I can't remember, but some of them, you know, they just play it sort of like you play a guitar, you know,
mm-hmm.
like that. But that's not the way Grandpa did it. He picked.
Did he have long fingers?
And that could make a fiddle talk. But he liked
the. Gosh, I can't remember about Grandpa's hands, but. It doesn't seem to me like he had long fingers.
No, he didn't.
He was a little man.
Yeah, I knew you said he was little, but I just...
He was a little man. Oh, but boy, was he a high stepper. You'd have thought if you'd have known him, he was 10 feet tall. Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, I never shout.
His brother come home from Illinois, and he had a great big belly, and he's short and fat.
John, Uncle John.
And he said, "Well, get the fiddle and play me a tune for us." And he played Sally Gooden. And that old man danced all of it. His feathers was pouring off of him. Us kids thought it was the funniest thing ever was. We laughed till we couldn't see.
What kind of dancing was he doing? A jig or a...
No, he's doing two-step.
Two-step.
Uncle John.
So you played the musical instrument, but now she didn't and Tommy didn't.
Nobody but me.
Nobody but you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still play?
No. Oh, I used to, but I just sort of, you know, got away from it.
She can play anything.
I can pick up anything and get a tune out of it.
Get a tune out of it.
So you've got the gift too. It's a gift.
That's what I think I may have inherited from him. Mm-hmm. Also, I have an uncle on my dad's side, Dink. Dink could play. He played with Grandpa.
Mm-hmm. What was his name?
He played Dink. His real name was Charlie, but they called him Dink. Where Dink came from, I don't know. I don't know who gave him that nickname. But he played the mandolin and the fiddle. And he could really play that mandolin. He played with Grandpa.
My goodness.
Uh-huh.
Well, everybody played it.
Now, and Daddy's side of the family, I was thinking the other day, I remember Beatty and Hattie used to sort of fiddle around with that old organ. Willie played the organ, didn't he?
Who?
Willie.
Yeah.
Willie could play. That's Daddy's oldest brother. They had an organ, and he could play that organ. But, of course, he played by ear. But Dink played by ear. And he got his, I don't remember which hand it was. It must have been his left hand. Anyway, this finger cut off. And that was about the end of his mandolin playing or his fiddle playing because of that finger. But he could still play a little bit. And he played that mandolin when he was in service. They had, you know, groups that played. And he played the mandolin because we've got some pictures.
I used to make music for the dancers too.
Well, now Otis Dogner had a brother.
Yeah.
That played. Was it Vernon?
Yeah.
Well, Vernon and Dink used to play together when, was it Clifton's wife who taught school?
Mm-hmm.
Over at the schoolhouse there at Fairview, I believe. And they would have pie suppers or things like that. And she was telling me at Tommy's funeral that she remembered, you know, Dink and Vernon coming and playing for the pie suppers and the dances. She'd get them to come.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Dink was always ready to play. You ever did have to beg him to play. He was always ready to play. He liked that music. But now, he's really the only one that on my dad's side that I ever remember playing any music. Daddy couldn't do nothing. He could sing, but he couldn't play an instrument. He could sing, no instrument.
Wouldn't it be great if we had, if we could get the names of all those old tunes?
Uh-huh.
They're trying to compile a list in the state of all the old tunes that the old timers played. It's amazing how much that information is lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't remember what they played.
Mm-hmm.
The man this summer at Mammoth Cave, I think he played 350 old tunes.
Huh.
They had him ask him to just play everything old his grandfather taught him, his great-grandfather taught his grandfather, and so forth. It's amazing.
Huh.
But his mind was still good.
Huh. I can't remember a lot of things Grandpa played. But,
If you ever think of some of those old tunes, just
buy them. I remember Sally Gooden going up Cripple Creek, going in a run, going up Cripple Creek to have a little fun. I remember that one. And sometimes different things come to me that he plays. I think of it. But we could just about, we played whatever he wanted to play, you know, back in those days.
Just amazes me how he'd just stop everything.
Oh, he'd stop anything. Mm-hmm. Especially for the grandchildren. Of course, he said the three.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, Hildred would go to the field when, in the summertime, of course, we were out of school. And she'd go with a jar of water or maybe have fixed something in a basket for him to eat. And she'd start wherever he was. She knew where he was. And she'd walk, and it's a long ways. And then she'd get there, and she'd say, "Grandpa, let's sit down and talk a while." And he'd always stop what he's doing. I've played with Nolan.
Was one of them blind?
No.
No.
Neither of them.
Somebody told me Cleve was blind.
Oh, he may have been.
Cleve wasn't blind before he died.
And later, you know, way up, you know, near the time he died. I don't know how old he was, but he was getting up years when he died. He may have gone blind at that time, but when I knew him, No.
Yeah, were they farmers?
Nolan, when I remember him, he helped build that Highway 62. Of course, I knew him before that, but now he was a heavy equipment operator.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan was. Now, before that time, he did that. I don't know what he did.
He worked on the roads.
He worked on the highway. Here in Boulder, yeah, because I came up here with him one time. I guess he worked for the state.
Yeah, I know he did.
Well, now,
he worked at Owensboro on the road.
What about Cleve? I don't remember what he did.
Well, he just was young yonder. I don't know what.
I don't remember what he did. If he ever did anything, I don't remember it.
So Nolan would be the older of the two.
No, wasn't Cleve older than Nolan?
Cleve was older.
But,
Nolan was the latest of family.
But Nolan played the fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
And Grandpa would play the banjo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've heard them play lots of times at the dances.
Now, was he close to Mr. Wilson's age?
No, let me see. Nolan died. How long had he been dead?
I don't know.
He died while you were still over on the farm, didn't he? Has it been 10 years or that? But no, Nolan wasn't near Grandpa's age. Was he close to Daddy's age?
I guess so.
Seemed me like he would have been closer to my dad's age. But I played with Nolan at these dances. I played the guitar, he played the fiddle. If there wasn't anybody else there to mm-hmm. play. Yeah. Yeah, I'd fill in, because they knew I could.
Mm-hmm. Were many women playing?
I was the only one.
You're the only woman I've heard say played from over that way.
I did. I played the guitar. I could sure follow Grandpa and no one. I've done it many times. Yeah.
The music you all played, was it more?
For those square dances.
Mm, old music.
Yeah, for those square dances. And I can remember also as a child growing up, all those young people over there, they all liked Daddy. And they borrowed money from him and this and that and the other. And they had decided there wasn't anything to do. So they just all get together and all of them would come to our house. And then they'd tear all the furniture down in one room. And they'd ask him, said, "Can we have a square dance?" And he'd say yes. Well, I've seen it happen many times. And they'd have, they'd get somebody to play.
Were you stopping at the house?
I said that at the house. Yeah, they'd come and wouldn't even know they're going to have it, and they just take all the furniture out of one room, and here they go. Yeah. Remember it as well as anything, and sometimes they'd dance till daylight.
Oh, I know that from what she said.
Yeah.
Dancing all night in the cold weather and everything else.
Yeah, and I remember, I guess I was just a little thing.
She was going to dance with her daddy one night, said, "Don't you need to get you a partner? I'm going to be your partner." She was about that high. She was tall and skinny. And he said, "Okay." Well, that night, we was having an egg hunt the next day. It was Easter. And I was, oh, God, did it swarm just from everywhere. We was living down to Hartford. Had a pretty good size.
Well, didn't they have the dance down there that night?
We had a dance. And you know what? It was the next morning, we was cooking breakfast, and the sun was coming up, and they was some dancing, and some making biscuits, and some frying meat, and some frying eggs. And I opened a gallon and a half of pie preserves for breakfast. My sister and all, first night she's ever stayed all night with us, her and Sam Coleman. And Paulina danced all night. She couldn't get her out of bed. She wasn't the way we danced to nobody. She danced with him herself. She danced with him.
He called the sets.
I was
going to
ask you who called.
He did. Uh-huh. And he was good at it.
And
then if he wasn't there, his brother called the sets. Oh. Goble. He's still living.
He is. Is his mind good?
Sure it's good. He lives over there on Hills Neck, down there. Well, where is it? What's that road that goes up toward Hills Neck? He's not up in Hills Neck. He's closer down there to the Dundee Road.
I forgot
what the name of it is. But he could call the sets. But he wasn't as good as Daddy was.
Maybe he had a coarser voice.
Is that what? Yeah, I was going to ask you, what made Wavy so good?
His voice. His voice and the way he did it.
Well, his voice carried better.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I guess another thing, he'd done it so long. I can't remember anybody else calling those sets. And yet there was somebody else, because Daddy couldn't have been there every time. I know Goble did, but I can't remember who else did. Do you remember anybody else who called those sets?
No, Bayswood
was. Well, once in a while, but some of those to his time, he was playing that fiddle, though. He could call the sets, too, but he wasn't as good as Daddy because he didn't have the voice Daddy had.
So just knowing the call doesn't really make it good. You have to, it's the way you say it.
Present it. Uh-huh. And the time you say it. It has to be timed.
I heard him calling him this summer. Over there. That's the first time I really paid much attention to it, you know.
See, I saw it on television the other day, saw somebody calling the sets. But it was something, you know, a dance that I didn't know anything about. It was something new that I didn't know anything about.
Patrick Patterson calling them over there in Rosine area.
Well, I'm sure there's people over there who can do it. And, of course, we didn't go to every dance, you know, that they had. They had to have somebody. But I don't know who they were.
They've grown up and you don't know them now.
I mean, even back then, we didn't go to every one of those dances. They had to have somebody to call those sets. Raymond McQuaidy didn't. He would go, but he couldn't call those sets. Hop Hines couldn't either. He was at every one of them. Wait a minute. Was his name Hatler? Mm-hmm. Was there a Hatler over there?
Yeah.
What was his name?
I don't know.
Bill Hatler. There was a
That was the old man.
That was the old man.
Mm.
Now, this was the younger one. He couldn't. I never did hear him. but I remember him. And Bill Deaver would have picnics up there at the store.
Yeah, right
there. Why would he have there in the yard, that side yard?
Yeah, I can't remember that. And at the store, and there's a whole lot of stuff there in the cellar.
Well, now, did they dance there,
yes,
too? Where'd they dance?
In
sawdust, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
the sun come up.
Mama, did Jess Ashford call set?
Yeah,
I knew there's somebody else. He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
And did he play an instrument, too?
Jess didn't play an instrument that I remember.
Oh, he didn't play that.
Now, he was the one, I believe, that Grandpa hired, he and his brother. Was it Jess and Les to come over and take care of the kids when Grandma was sick and George died?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Jess is dead now.
They was only cousins, did you know it?
Yeah, Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't know it for a long time. But Jess was always trying to get a party going or a picnic. In the summertime, you know. And they had, what do you call those things? Brush Harbor?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Over there on the Vine Hill Road.
On the top of it, cutting to put over for a shade.
Yeah, I saw my first Brush Harbor.
Oh, we used to go to those. And Jess would be usually the instigator. And they would build a sort of a square, you know, out of planks. And they would cook mutton. And they would sell it, you know, at the dance, the square dance.
So the Brush Harbor was a dance?
Oh, yes.
For church. The one I saw.
No, this was for a dance.
Oh, okay.
And they would have pickles and buns and light bread and mutton. I can't remember if they had anything else or not. Oh, but they used to have those all the time. And they'd have a dance, and they put sawdust out, you know, mm-hmm. for them to dance. And they'd just be the biggest crowd you ever saw.
Yeah, did Jess play an instrument?
I can't remember him ever playing an instrument, but he could call the sets to the dance, because I've heard him.
Now, we may have said this, but I don't remember it. What instruments did the Bays men play?
Now, let me see. Nolan played the fiddle. Cleve played the banjo. I'm pretty sure. I know Nolan played the fiddle. I'll have to ask Mama about Cleve. But I believe he played the banjo. Where did she go when I needed her? Mama, what instrument did Cleve play? The banjo? Well, I thought you said he played the banjo.
Well, he did.
Played both then. He played both. He played both, fiddle and the banjo, she says. But I don't remember seeing Nolan play anything but fiddle. And I knew him better than I knew Cleve. Because they had kids, you know, about my age. And we went to school together.
Mm-hmm. So you all socialized with the musicians a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, when we went to these dances, and this was the Brush Harbor, and have the picnic, and I can remember you cooking mutton.
We had a picnic up on.
Yeah.
And Lorna did.
And they cooked, I remember Mama cooking all that mutton, that big old black kettle out in the yard. And then she'd bake it in the oven, you know. And,
tender.
Yeah. Well, it'd tenderize in this big black kettle out in the yard. Then she'd put it in these big pans and pepper it and whatever. I don't know what else she put on it. And put it in the oven and bake it and then let it, you know, and then it'd get cold. And then they'd slice it up and make the sandwiches. And they had pickles and bread and onions.
Tomatoes.
And what else?
I don't remember. What else was in it? Pop and Kool-Aid.
Coffee, I guess. I know the kids are just out of time. That's big times for us.
Out of wagon load of people.
Huh?
We out of wagon load of people.
Yeah, people would come in wagons and buggies. Then they would use that brush harbor, too, for church. You know, they'd have meetings there.
Were those Pentecostal type?
Yeah, are you talking about hole rollers? Yeah. I call them hole rollers. We lived down in Hell Neck when I was a baby. I was little. Hildred was born there. And on down the road from us, I'm trying to think of their names. I liked them. Nice brother.
I can't think of his name.
Lawson. What was his name? Clyde was his brother. Lawson. Well, Mama, I'll never forget his name. It'll come to me when I don't want to. But anyway, I can't think of his name. He was sort of a preacher, or he claimed to be. As far as I know, he's a good man. And didn't live too far below us. And he would preach, you know. And we'd see him going. They had a nice buggy and a horse, you know. Mm-hmm. And go to Brush Harbor. And lots of times we got to go. And Charlie must put the paper in the door. But anyway, we would go. And there were just, well, that whole community would go. Not that they all were hole rollers. We certainly weren't hole rollers. And there were a lot of people who weren't, and a lot of them who were. And a lot of them went just to watch to see what they did. Lord have mercy, they'd roll on the ground and, you know, they'd speak in the unknown tongue, especially Lossie. And that always fascinated me. Anybody. Leslie B. was his name. He was the preacher. I was Lossie's husband. Leslie, L-E-S-L-A-E. Leslie B. and Lossie. He was the preacher, and Lossie would talk, speak in the unknown tongue. And, there'd be several who could do that. And those of us who weren't hole rollers, I think we were all there just to see and watch what went on.
Was the music good?
Well, I can't remember having any music.
Bad singing.
But they didn't have any music behind it that I remember. I don't remember.
Somebody to play the organ.
But this would be at the Brush Harbor.
Them hole rollers.
But this was at the Brush Harbor.
Well, this is the Brush Harbor.
Well, I remember one time, or maybe we went more than once. We went, because I was little, wasn't too big, up at, I'll declare I've forgotten their names. I know them as well as I know anybody's name. And there was a woman hole roller preacher.
Yeah.
What was her name? Mm. Well, it was up at somebody's house that we knew real well, and I can't think of their names. Anyway, they had it out in the yard. And, Lord have mercy. She was the talk of that country, the hole roller lady preacher. But I can't remember her name.
Well, that's unusual, isn't it? A lady preacher?
Yeah, back at that time. Well, everybody went.
Was
just
it
to
D.
see.
Tucker's wife, Esther Tucker?
It was, no, but it's in that area. It's somebody we knew real well and liked these people. And we'd stop there lots of times. There were just two of them. No, it wasn't D. Wasn't D. Tucker. Uh-uh. I can't think of who in the world it is. A man and his wife. Anyway, they had the meeting out in the yard. I know we were there. And I know we went more than once because of this woman minister, you know, the hole rollers. Oh, she was something else. And Lossie there speaking in the unknown tongue, Leslie B. and all that other bunch of rice. It was something else. I'm surprised I wasn't frightened to death.
Well,
Was that intense?
Yeah, I'm surprised I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I think it was probably the way we were brought up, though. You know, we weren't supposed
to. That's true.
Didn't bother us, but we sure liked to watch them. But we were there for the wrong reasons. Yeah.
Well, maybe it influenced you more than you thought.
I don't know. I remember it. I sure remember it. But now Lossie and Leslie B., they moved away from up there. Of course, we moved long before they did. Anyway, they moved down to Beaver Dam. And they were good people. They really were good people. Mm-hmm. Now, if they were hole rollers or whatever they were good people. Really good people. They had to be, or Daddy wouldn't have gone and visited them so much. He wouldn't have gone around them, period. They had to have been good people. He wouldn't have gone around them.
Well, look, did they have faith healing and all that at these meetings?
Mm-hmm. I can't remember that. I remember Jessup came through the country, but he had a... meeting, had a big tent over at Beaver Dam, was it? Or Hartford? Where'd Jessup have that big tent?
Over Hartford.
Well, anyway, there was a cab driver there in Beaver Dam who had been crippled all of his life. You may have seen him. What was his name?
Lord, I
don't know. I thought I'd never forget him either. But anyway, he was a good friend of my dad. They were about the same age, I guess. I think he's dead now. Anyway, that's the only way he had to make a living, but he could drive a car, and he, you know, did pretty good. And anyway, Jessup, or he goes to this meeting, and Jessup says he can baptize him and make him walk again, you know, without his crutches. He'd had them all.
Right, was one of them.
No, Abe wasn't down there at this time. This had been years before that. This was later on. But anyway, they took him over to the river and baptized his cab driver. Griffin!
Griffin
was his name. Last name. Ernest Griffin. No, not Ernest.
Ernest was a preacher.
No, that was his first name's not Ernest, but his last name is Griffin. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll think of it. I can't. But anyway, of course, everybody wants to walk who can't. Well, I'm sure they do. And so Griffin decided, you know, he'd go over there and be baptized. He wants to walk. He wants to believe. And he baptized him, got him out on the bank, said, throw them crutches away! And he threw the crutches down, and he told him to walk. Of course, Griffin fell and broke one of his legs.
Goodness.
Daddy was there.
Well, I can't help it.
Yeah, Daddy was there. Oh, because he was so mad he couldn't see straight. You know, he knew Griffin wasn't going to walk, or he felt that way. And, of course, he fell and broke one of those bad legs. Oh, that was Jessup. And he came on over to Bowling Green, put up his tent out there on the Morgantown Road, and somebody set it on fire and burned up everything, see. Jessup had to leave this country. I don't remember anything about Lay Bright. What did Lay Bright do?
Well, they had him going, have him walking too. He was a cripple.
Well, who was it? It wasn't Jessup.
No, I don't know who the preacher was. And anyway, he fell. He couldn't walk at all. He had arthritis. He worked so hard. Mm. Work night and day, run a sawmill in daytime, and built a house at night in the barn.
Now, Lay Bright was a senior.
Andrew's mother.
Well, he'd be my great uncle.
Yeah.
Daddy's uncle.
The man ever breathed.
Now, I don't guess you knew any of the Wrights over there.
No.
Of course, they were relatives of. Of course, my grandmother Hines was a Wright. W-R-I-G-H-T. And there was a lot of Wrights back when I was young over there growing up. There were big families of them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those Wrights were hole rollers. Mm-hmm. But the ones who were related to us were not holy rollers.
Were there many holy rollers around?
Yes, there were a lot of them over in Hell Neck and up around that surrounding area. Yes, sir, there were.
Yes, thick?
Yeah. Yes, there were.
Oh, the sun would be coming down, you'd be so glad you could get under that shade.
Under that brush arbor?
Dust knee deep, Nellie. Cars just a-whizzing.
Wagons, buggies.
Wagons and buggies. Some on horses.
Who was the mail? Who was our mailman back then that had that nice buggy and horse? I thought I never would forget that man's name because I liked him so well. It doesn't seem like that was his name, but he was an awful nice man. And you know, they weren't supposed to let anybody ride in the buggy with them when they're delivering the mail. But I'd be on my way to school. I wasn't old enough to go, but they let me go anyway. My grandparents, and he'd always stop and pick me up and let me ride in the buggy. He wasn't supposed to do it. And I thought, well, I'd never forget that man's name, and now I've forgotten it. Elvis or Goble will be the only one, or Vady, who can remember who it is, or Hattie. Vady was here last Saturday. Not this Saturday, the Saturday before. She and she okay.
And they've got that old Taterbug mandolin over there that's pretty neat.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. Where did they get it?
I don't know.
Was it Dink's?
I don't know whose it was, but it's old.
Dink had one that was that Taterbug mandolin. Dink had one, but I don't know whatever happened to it.
Going to work on Tex Edison. Give it to somebody, I forgot who.
Well, he didn't give it to any of the family, you know.
He'd give it to
a complete stranger, like my grandmother Hines died. She had one of those wide gold wedding bands. Mm-hmm. And he got it. And instead of giving it to one of his sisters, either the oldest one or the youngest one, he gave it to one of his cousins, our grandmother's niece. Oh, that always made me so mad, I couldn't see straight. And then, after she died,
Adrian got it,
Adrian Burton, the son, he's a real nice fella. Well, he lives up there close to Vady and Odie. He lives in that area. Mm-hmm. He's a nice fella. Anyway, he didn't know quite what to do with this ring because at that time there were four of those sisters living. Aunt Donnie was alive, Aunt Cliffy and Hattie and Vady. Well, I always thought Vady should have had the ring because she was the baby. And he decided to give it to either Hattie or Vady. But let me see, how did she tell me how that went? Yeah. They decided to draw straws, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And whoever got the shortest straw or the longest straw got the ring. Well, Hattie got the ring. Mm-hmm. Vady, she still didn't like it, but there wasn't nothing she could say about it, so she doesn't say too much about it anymore. But I always thought she should have had the ring.
We're going to work on Tex Acheson in the next week or two.
Who is?
Did you work all around over in Nashville?
What?
Did you work down in Nashville?
I did the other day, but I'll have to go back probably in a few weeks.
Huh.
I always have to go back to research a little bit more.
Well, will Bill Monroe be there? Will it be something involved with him, or will it be a new project?
No, it'll just be me getting more information.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It's, I was just really lucky. I was asked to be there.
We had some heydays back in those days. We had some big times.
They really were.
Everybody back then just about, always a few scallywags around. But just about everybody you knew, I mean, they worked hard. Mm-hmm. They really worked hard. But when they played hard. Yes, sirree.
Well, I think music's been a pretty big influence in your early years.
Oh, yeah. What? Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Hilda and I used to sing at different things. Daddy'd make me so mad. Everywhere we'd go to some kind of a to-do, a pie supper or a dance or something, we had to sing. That just thrilled him to death and make us so mad we couldn't sister.
But you sang anyway.
Yeah, we had to. Yeah. If he said sing, you sang. Yeah. Oh, he'd just stand and smile. Mm-hmm. I got a card from Bessie Austin and a letter the other day. I've got to get over to the store and get a birthday card for her.
She's a nice person.
Yeah, well, I tell you, she, of course, we were neighbors, you know. They lived on one hill and we lived on the other. Of course, Mildred and I were pretty close to the same age. Like Mildred's about a year and a half older than I am, but I was bigger than she was. She was about as big as my arm. We fought every day of the world in the summertime. Every day. And Mildred would always go home and start, you know, she'd tell Bessie. And Bessie'd just laugh, she wouldn't do a thing, say a thing. Because we usually the fights started over, we had one towel. One, and we'd go swimming. And whoever got the towel, there was going to be a fight. Because the next one, you know, it was wet. We're swimming down the creek. That's what we were doing. And why, Bessie thinks I belong to her, me and Hildred both. We were there every day, just about. And Mildred's down at the house, James Thomas.
Oh, he's a character.
And, what would you grow up from little kids? She'll be 85 the 20th.
Yes, I interviewed her.
And Earl's birthday and my birthday was the 9th of September.
She's another good storyteller.
Oh, well, she remembers all that stuff back then. Her mind's good.
Yeah.
And you can believe anything she tells you because that's the way it happened.
Mm-hmm.
She remembers all that. And Earl had an uncle. Did she tell you about Lon?
I don't think so.
Well, Lon retired from the Army. He spent 30 years, I think, in the Army. Anyway, he drew a big pension. Well, really, back in those days, he was the only one in the country around there that had money. You know what he drew? I don't remember what he drew, but it was a pretty good amount of money back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't work. He didn't do anything but just ramble from one house to another. And he could always manage to come in at mealtime. And Mom would get so mad, or he'd go over to Grandpa and Grandma's, make Grandma so mad she'd nearly die. She'd see him come and just have a fit. Of course, Grandpa wouldn't say anything. He's glad to see him. Well, he'd get ready. They'd get ready to go to bed, because he's always going to stay all night. And he'd look at Grandma and he'd say, Minnie, you want me to sleep up in the loft? Oh, that would make her mad. She'd just about die. Oh, well, that was Earl's uncle, and he was just from one place to another. But he was real good to us kids. You know, he'd give us money, and he'd bring us candy, and he'd see us out, you know, at the county fair, and he'd give us money. Then he'd call my sister, Miss Hildridge. She was younger, and he'd call Mildred, and he'd see us at Hartford, and he'd say, let's go up to, let me see, who had that restaurant? Oh, I thought I'd never forget it. Dawson, who was it?
Dolphin Hunter.
Dolphin Hunter, that's who owned the restaurant. He'd say, let's go up to Dolphin's Cafe. C-A-F-E, that's what he pronounced it, Cafe. And we'd laugh, we knew it wasn't right. And he eat us a plate lunch. Well, we'd go with him. And he despised anything we wanted. And he bought Miss Hildridge. He called her, I don't know why he called her Miss Hildridge, but that's what he always called her. He came in up there one afternoon. I don't know why he didn't get me something, but I guess he'd brought me something before. I don't know. But he was just wild over her. And he brought her a big box. I've seen them now. They still have them at some of the drugstores. A box of makeup this long and this wide. Cody makeup. And she wasn't that high. You remember that?
Yeah. Oh, it had the best smell and stuff in it.
Oh, you know what's in those boxes. Mm-hmm. But here, this little girl, she ain't this high. She's six. And what's she going to do with this Cody makeup?
Play dolls, I guess.
I don't remember. I guess we all used it. I don't know. I don't remember. But I remember it.
Much of it. She kept it in.
Oh, me. Well, his son came home one time. Bessie probably didn't tell this. Lon had one son. He was an old man at that time. Anyway, Lon got drunk. He and Lon both were drunk. And he didn't want to fool with his dad. So he put him out at our crossing. He knew he'd either come to our house or he'd go to Grandpa and Grandma's. Well, I just happened to be going. I don't know where I was going.
Going to the store?
Maybe I was. I don't know. And I had to cross this log, walk this log, to get across the creek and hold on to a wire. Well, I looked over at the other side and I had